All right. In this segment, the candidates will answer questions posed by members of the audience. The screeners may combine multiple questions on the same topic, and they may edit questions for the length or clarity. We can't get to every question, but we'll do as many as we can. Each response will have 1 minute.
Okay, the first question is, we're gonna start with Mr. Simpson, and then go to Barnes, and then continue down that way.
You're gonna confuse us.
We're switching it up. Okay.
You're first.
Yeah. Okay, so how can American Fork protect its interests in American Fork Canyon?
The easiest way, first, I would attend and I would talk to our county commissioners because they're dealing directly with this. I would then ask Brad what I would do. Brad is involved with this directly. There are two Facebook pages, and these are people who are directly involved and who have fought the battle. I would talk to them. They have steps. They have groups of people who've been talking and have been working together and have been very powerful. I've watched them at county commissioners' meetings.
I think the answer's been said, and that is we just look to Brad. He's the expert. So you're going to get the real stuff when you get to him. But I do want to say something. He may or may not say it. When this first started, American Fork got laughed out of the deal. The canyon has the name American Fork. And I am glad that him and the mayor jumped on that really quick. They knew the people that needed to be talked to. They knew the things that needed to be done. And if I understand it right, we now actually have a seat at the table. And that is great. And we didn't have a seat at the table. You can't play the game if you're not invited until you get a seat at the table. We have that seat. And this whole city needs to thank Brad Frost for that.
You know, it's interesting, by the time I came into City Council, the first time I was made aware of this whole issue was on vacation with my family in Lake Tahoe, and taking calls on the side and talking to people and see what we can strategically do. And I'm grateful to have wonderful council members to work with where we can share the burden. And this is one that Brad has shouldered quite a bit. But one thing that I remember, and I mentioned this quite a few times, just a joke about the time commitment again, is at 6 o'clock in the morning on Father's Day this last year, we were up together talking on the phone, looking at writing this resolution. And we did that for a couple of hours before any Father's Day festivities took place. And so I think as you look at what we can do, we looked at exhausting all options. Even though we didn't have a vote, we did everything we could to influence those around us and to be able to try to have a good working relationship with other cities, to have them jump on board. And that's one of the great things about having a council that can work well together. We can accomplish a lot.
I might start crying. This canyon's dear to my heart. We've put a lot of time. I tell you this, that the county commissioners, the county has jurisdiction over the county. It's really public lands for the Forest Service, so it's owned by the United States of America, all of us. But when somebody wants to develop in it, they actually go through the county processes to develop them. So, as you know, American Fork is kind of left out. We were the spoils of a trade from Salt Lake County, and we used a small hammer to try to get us off of that, and they didn't listen, so we kind of had to go to a bigger hammer. And finally, we had to use a sledgehammer. And so we have divorced ourselves from Salt Lake County, and that's a good first step. And so now American Fork is the canyon, but it is still under attack. It's under attack by private business, and I tell you who it is, it's Snowbird. They want to infiltrate and come down. And so we unite, and we fight them politically. And if that doesn't work, we get big hammers and we go at them. So I have 1 minute, and I would love to talk to anybody for 10 minutes about it after this.
All right, the next question, we'll start with Mr. Barnes. What do you think about Proposition Number 1?
Prop 1, I'm assuming you're talking about the tax, correct? Whoever wrote that, to increase the taxes, right? The sales tax issue. There's no question, it's been talked about a lot tonight, that roads need to be fixed. That's a good part of Prop 1. The part that bothers me is that UTA gets 40 cents out of every dollar that goes into that tax. And therefore, I struggle with what to do on Prop 1. Somebody asked me the question before the meeting started, and I said, I was leaning for it, but the more I learn, I'm starting to lean against it. I've learned a couple of things the last few days. There is an option for, if it is defeated, for the legislature to go back and rewrite that law. And I think that would be wonderful, and UTA get less of the money.
One of the committees I sit on, not as a city function, but for my business, it came to light that as they were debating this bill, it was pretty evident that there were many legislatures up in the Salt Lake Valley that wanted to make sure that Utah Valley had to support UTA, and that's why they wrote that into a transportation funding bill. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think we ought to have two separate bills and not tie them together. I'd like to have an up or down vote just on the UTA issue and have an up and down vote just on fixing our roads. While we have to commingle them, I'm not so sure why. I also have some concerns about how that money is spent. Quite frankly, when that money goes to the state and county and then is reallocated back to the city, it's very hard to make sure we get our fair share. We had a sales tax increase here lately to be able to do tourism. The city's paid in over $3 million, and we've only gotten $90,000 back. And that's not very fair at all. So I'd much rather have a more local auction that we can be able to do. But that being said, if it does pass, I will promise you this, we'll put the money to good use in fixing the roads of American Fork.
This came before the council, and it was a collective resolution that the county wanted to see from the council to support it. And we voted it down. We voted it down because of the language of the resolution and of the UTA portion. And so I can tell you, I've tried to research what that UTA portion will do for American Fork City. And I am not satisfied that it will do anything right now. They're basing it off of principles, five principles. If you go to the rideuta.com and you can try to learn about what UTA will do with that money, I'm not satisfied that it will do anything with it for American Fork. And so as much as I want to see that the roads, and I can see the cost of inflation and how road costs have gone way up and how we have to level that out with some increased funding along with, you know, budget decreases, I'm voting no for it because I just cannot deal with UTA's lack of transparency and what they'll do with it.
I agree. When I look at the signs on the interstate, none of them talk about the money going to UTA. They only talk about the money for the roads. And that kind of seems sneaky to me. We have UTAs at a point where they cannot borrow at the rates they could. They're in such debt and the way they've dealt with money has been so poor. Their ability to borrow is diminished. It's my opinion that the whole point of this Prop 1 is to get money for UTA. Well, I mean, our Utah State Roads has done a pretty good job with their budget, and I've been really impressed, not only what they've done, but how quickly they do everything, the thoroughness, the quality of the work. But it's my strong opinion that Prop 1 is just to get UTA money, and I don't like it a bit. I won't vote for it.
First, Mr. Shelton, why are water rates so high? Is there something the city can do to reduce them?
Thanks. There's two parts of the water rates. We have the culinary rates, and then we also have the secondary water irrigation rates. Secondary water irrigation rates basically came into play because the water irrigation bond that we put together, and as a city voted for, was put together using an elastic revenue stream. In other words, it's using variable revenue streams coming from impact fees. So when the economy went south, that revenue stream dried out, and we had to look at it. It was that, or we had to find other ways to be able to pay for it. Culinary water rates, if you take a look at it, the last pipe we pulled, one of the last pipes we pulled out of Pacific Drive, the date on it was 1930 when it was manufactured. So take your math. We got our money's worth out of that pipe. We have a lot of pipes inside of our city. I'll give you an example. We fixed a water line that went to a fire hydrant in front of a home, and about 2 weeks later, That home caught fire, and our fire department was able to use that fire hydrant that they fixed, that had been broken for years and years, to be able to put that fire out. So we're using that money to make sure that we can provide public safety, but also that essential thing of providing clean water to the homes.
Ditto, because of the debt that was incurred for the secondary system, that is that's the major portion of what we're paying in our water rates. And then, you know, infrastructure. We did not know probably a year ago that there's a 5 million gallon tank at the mouth of American Fork Canyon. It was deteriorating. They had to send some divers in there. They got all sterilized, jumped in. The roof was starting to collapse. The city at that point had to invest into that tank. Probably 40% of your drinking water that you'll have is from a spring that's right up by just below the cave. And we are redoing that. And because it's necessary, and it's very costly. So I guess I'm defending the water rates and the fact that we take, you know, turn on your faucet is a lot of infrastructure. Hundreds of miles of pipe are in American Fork, and it's our duty to make sure that those are sustainable for now and in the future.
A lot of people have noticed the rising and rapidly rising water rates. And like Rob pointed out, the water rates pay for two things. They pay off the bond, and they go for maintenance. And these are important things that have to be paid. And the sources of funding shrunk a lot when we had the Depression, and a study was done that our city council uses to price the rates of our water. And they priced them over about 5 years. Well, as our economy has gotten better, and you've seen, the original source has come up. And in fact, I saw in a city council meeting the amount of money, and it seemed like it was almost $1 million surplus. The rates don't need to continue to come up. They can stop. This is a choice that our city government has made, to have the rates continue to rise when they don't need to.
There are a lot of different ways to look at numbers and calculate what they mean. I tend to look at things as simply as I can. I have married children that live in Pleasant Grove and Cedar Hills. I ask them to bring me 3 months worth of their city bills. I've seen literature that's put out that shows we're 50, 60, 80, 100%, whatever, higher than all of these other cities. You know what? We're within about $2 or $3 of each of those other cities. I think we're doing a pretty good job. There are some problems that were inherited. That water system should have been done a long time ago. But guess what? We can't go back and do it. So we've got to pay for it now. We've got the obligation, and we need to take care of it. There's no other way around it. We still need to do the best we can at managing that money. But it's not always as easy as some people make it seem.